Yo, it's Wednesday. It feels like it was just Monday, just 2 days ago. Oh, we got some fun stuff to talk about today. Another dealer mega deal, the Ford Skunk Works project, and Buc-ee's heading west. I've still never been to a Buc-ee's, by the way.
Paul. All right.
Where's the nearest Buc-ee's?
To me?
Yeah, to you.
About an hour north. Hour and a half north.
North. Okay.
There's
never going
there's
there.
More than like 30 minutes from Beaver Toyota, you know.
Okay. Well, that seems like a more, which direction?
A little bit west and a little bit like northwest.
Okay. That sounds like it's feasible. We are going to be
that's feasible. I'm trying to think where else, like near,
Florida, right? Like
in
then
Florida,
you, go south
you can
Texas.
Find some.
Is there any near Cirillo in Dallas?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yo, right. Texas has them like littered all over the place.
Okay. That's okay. The okay. All right. We'll talk about the Buc-ee's story in a little bit, but I'm just, every time I read a Buc-ee's story, I'm like, I feel like I don't know what's up. Right. Yeah. Like I know, but I don't know.
You have no clue.
I have no clue. You have no clue until you actually do it.
It's like the Disney World of convenience stores. It's not even a gas station.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, we have a bunch of stuff, a fun webinar going on today at 1 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about how Ron Bouchard Auto is bridging the online in-store financing gap with Upstart. So this is our second in the series about bridging the digital divide. The last one was great. What I love about these is the last one and this one bringing actual dealer experience and insight into the conversation so other dealers can learn from what's actually being done on the front line. It's not like a theory. It's not, you know, just information. It's actually practice, which is why we do these quick, you know, 20, 25 minute webinars. So you can get in, learn a thing, get out. You can register for free. Just go to asodu.com and you just scroll up. You might not even have to score. You might see it right on the first, first page. So join us because last one was awesome. We had a lot of fun on these and you and I will both be there. I was on it last time, but today's webinar, it's both of us. So I'm sure we'll say something dumb, which is probably worth the price of admission.
You're gonna say dumb. You got to have a laugh every once in a while. It's yourself or someone else. It doesn't really matter.
Speaking of admission, AsotaCon 55 days away. You know, it's the big countdown. We're under 60 days and the momentum's building. Tickets are going. The hotel rooms are going. We said it yesterday. We'll say it again. If you're planning on going, go to AsotaCon.com, get your hotel room and your ticket so that you can stay in the venue hotel. They've allocated us a big chunk of the rooms in the hotel. It's actually the vast majority of all the rooms in the live casino hotel. So we want you to be there. There's other good hotels like around, but if you want to be in the venue.
Be close, you know.
It's what AsotaCon's about, being close.
Being close.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, no. Next week. Is More Than Cars premiere next week?
It is.
More Than Cars episode 3. I know. Geez, so much going on right now. More Than Cars, the docuseries we made about inspiring stories from real car dealerships coming to you from the West Her Auto Group in Buffalo, New York, where Kyle and I had a blast filming this episode with Scott Beeler and Matt Lasher and so much of the crew there. It's on the 27th. We're going to live stream it. So go to, where do you get info? It's probably on the asodu.com too.
morethancars.tv. You got asodu.com. You can go to our LinkedIn. It's pinned to the top. Yeah. Any of those places.
Things going on. All right. Let's get into some news.
People got
stuff to do.
A lot more cars. You know what I mean?
Speaking of a lot more cars.
Segway
to the first. Okay. We'll go there. All right. Following an initial announcement of this deal back in January, we were talking about Holman has expanded its auto retail empire by closing finally on the acquisition of the Leith Auto Group, a move that nearly doubles their dealership count. So basically includes over 20 franchise dealerships across North Carolina, being the largest buy in Holman's 100-year-plus history. It also brings 1,900 new employees to Holman, bringing their total employee count to 4,500. It's a couple right there. While introducing 13 brand new brands into its portfolio. The Leith name is going to stay on the Leith stores. A lot of good brand equity and goodwill built up there, so they're going to keep that in place. Chris Conroy, Holman CEO, said, "This acquisition puts our business in a position to win for the next 100 years. I love that statement. And we also, you may have heard this from us prior to the acquisition, Leith was the first dealer in the dealer network for VinFast, the Vietnamese EV maker. So now that is a Holman asset and property. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, and Kerrigan Advisors, who will be actually on stage, on the main stage at a SoduCon, represented Leith in the big transaction. So maybe we'll ask Gabe a couple of questions.
There you go. I love, this is a great story. And this is, we've seen this over the last 6-7 months, especially where, I mean, I guess really the last 2 years, where large groups are buying other large successful groups. It's not like just buying stores that are failing yeah. or missing a market and trying to revive them. It's actually buying the revenue, buying the employee count, buying the culture, and assuming that into the narrative of the group. A lot of people may ask, you know, where do the resources, the financial resources, the wherewithal from a group like Holman come to double its size? You know, Holman has a whole enterprises, fleet business, venture tech business that is adjacent to their retail business. And so they are a lot broader than maybe a lot of people know them in the industry as just the retail stores. So this also, I'm sure, adds to the capacity of their fleet management, fleet deliveries, and their technology capacities that they're invested in. So makes a ton of sense to me. Holman, super progressive group. Leith, great brand equity, like you said, in the Carolinas. So I'm excited to see what the partnership looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I wish I had a segue for this next story, but I don't.
Nothing.
There's nothing there. But that's a good next story. It's another kind of story about like moving forward and trying new things. Ford is gearing up to counter the influx of affordable Chinese EVs. Big talk around that this week with its own low cost electric platform, where there's new information surfacing since their announcement last month of an internal Skunkworks project where they're going to have this internal team rapidly develop low-cost EVs. So this EV platform set to debut in 2026. It's going to introduce three new EV models, a compact SUV, a small truck, and possibly a ride-hail service vehicle starting at $25,000. Now, let's see what happens with that.
No way.
I know. The vehicles are going to be powered by a cost-effective lithium iron phosphate battery or batteries, and intended to accelerate their strategic shift to EVs to be profitable in the first year. So Jim Farley, Ford CEO, said the ultimate competition is going to be the affordable Tesla and Chinese automakers. And so obviously Ford is trying to like bypass the normal path to building a new vehicle and saying like, let's see if we can get startup level scrappy on this.
Well, this is, I imagine like the boardroom, you know, like it, like any good movie where it's like papers are flying everywhere. Everybody's scrambling around. Like, what do we do? Let's move it around. Let's change it up, you know? And this is the scramble that we're going to see not just Ford probably make over the next 2 years. We're going to see a lot of the legacy automakers that saw an opportunity at the premier price point for EVs, saw the market wane fairly quickly on that, and then are watching, and we're watching kind of the fear of automakers outside of the U.S. entering the U.S. at a much more affordable price point, taking market share from, even taking market share from their ICE vehicles. So I expect this move to be done a couple times. I love it. I'm excited about having an affordable EV out there, more affordable EVs. I saw another LinkedIn post of someone talking about just how even rental vehicles are having, or rental companies are having a hard time overcoming the gap between a user being ready to be in an EV or not, and people actually asking for ICE vehicles, standing in line, waiting instead of just jumping in an EV. And so things like this allow for, you know, more people to adopt it in different spaces, being that ride hail service, that's a easy early adopter. So kudos to Ford for doing the scramble.
I'm excited to just see some legacy automaker get profitable on an EV. It's going to happen. Right. It's going to happen. And I think that'll be a big tipping point, figuring that out. I have this, I can't remember what movie it is, but it's probably been in a lot of movies where you have like a military base, and then you have like the special forces troops come in, and they got like long beards, and they're a little more like, got a little more bravado, and they walk in front of the food line like take food out of the thing when all the other enlisted guys are in line. And I feel like that's the Skunkworks
buttons lab. Undone.
Right. Yeah, they come in and be like, yeah, we don't have to follow that rule. We're making a thing that actually makes money. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of promises that have been thrown around on EVs in the last 3 years. And so I don't think anybody believes any of them. Everybody has a big we'll see. Speaking of things to see.
Stop. Segway.
I want to see. My own eyes.
Paul's flying to Colorado because that might be his opportunity to see a Buc-ee's. The first one in Colorado is open. If you don't know about Buc-ee's, I mean, you know, take the rock off.
Is it the Disney World of gas stations? Would you call it that?
It's actually, I wouldn't even call it the Disney World. Like it's a little bit adjacent to that. It's not a really perfect representation because there's, you know, the experience is all about kind of the, everyone gets something, and it's all done right in front of you. But it's definitely some form of entertainment. I will agree with that portion of the Disney. So the new location spans 74,000 square feet, 116 fuel pumps, 275 employees, 24/7 operations. This is the first time that far west is going to be able to experience a Buc-ee's. There are families, one of the ones mentioned in the article, the Cowans, that are kind of like saying that the Buc-ee's experience was actually a part of their vacation, not just a stop along the way. Like they wanted to go there just so that they could experience it. So it was almost a destination. Josh Smith, the director of operations for Buc-ee's, said, "We want to remember that we're here to offer that safe environment for the family travelers. We want them to know that they're going to be comfortable taking their kids. Mom can take the kids into the restroom and not have to worry about anything. It's safe. Everybody in the car is going to be able to get something they want without having to make five different stops." That's a cool brand prop.
You know, I think this ties to what we do, what dealers do day in and day out. Gas station experience is typically not one that people look forward to. It's not a great one. It's got a lot of stigmas to it, obviously.
Oh, my wife and daughter hate it normally.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. From the food to the cleanliness of the restaurants to some sketchy characters to slow gas pumps. And I think Buc-ee's has done an amazing job saying like, no, this could be an awesome experience.
Yep.
You just have to do it this way. And you have to have people that are there that want to be there and working. So some of the best dealerships that we see really do embody this mentality of like, we understand there's some stigmas. There are some unpleasant things that people have had in the past. We're going to show you that it can actually be a fun place to be. I mean, not just because the logo is a beaver, but Beaver Toyota definitely comes to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the dealership? There's a dealer. Oh, man, I wish I could remember it, but the dealer in Florida, they're putting a full service restaurant in the middle of the showroom.
Oh, yeah.
They hired a chief experience officer that came from the Ritz-Carlton. So just really smart and savvy dealers that are making themselves destinations as opposed to stops along the way.
I think even going back to our first story today, thinking about all these groups getting bigger, right? These big groups getting bigger. Now there's space in the payroll to hire someone who is focused on experience, not like purchase experience, but like customer experience, which ties us back into a SoduCon. Because we're having Will Gadara, author of Unreasonable Hospitality, be our keynote speaker. And there is, you know, he said in the book, I'm listening to it now. I've read it twice. I'm listening to it. And he says, everybody has the opportunity to decide that they're in the hospitality business. Right. And so I think this ties full circle.
We did a full circle Wednesday, y'all.
Full circle Wednesday. And so you are not in the car business. You're in the hospitality business. You're in the experience business because people will always remember how you make them feel. So go out, make them happy today. We'll see you tomorrow.